invite the rest of you to give attention as we continue on with this series on the I Am claims of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. We're going to be in John 8 today. We are reading from page 1662 in your pew Bibles, if you choose to use those. We'll be beginning with verse 12. John tells us in the previous chapter, John 7, that the events in John 8 take place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And during that time, the priests would light menorahs, or candles, in the temple area, many of them illuminating the place. And likely it was at that moment, at that time, that Jesus makes the claim that he does in John chapter 8. Beginning with verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I come from and where I'm going. You have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I'm one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they ask him, "Well, who is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. One who sent me is the one with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. First thing is that God is light. In him, as we know, there's no darkness at all. And people would be familiar with those ideas, those concepts, for a long time in the Old Testament and throughout Scripture. God was identified as light and the source of light, as the creator and the giver of all life. But what did Jesus mean in verse 12? By claiming to be the light of the world. Why don't we let him answer? Look again at verse 12. Look very carefully. Though there are many things we might derive, that we might interpret about light and its properties and all its qualities, Jesus identifies some specific things in just that verse. When he says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Jesus here says that he is the giver of life. Light gives life. He's claiming to be that source of life, all life. In John 1:4, the opening remarks tell us that in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. David Stevenson, professor of planetary science at the California Institute of Technology, says this: "If the sun burned out tomorrow, photosynthesis would halt immediately, and most plants would die within a few weeks. With the bottom tier of the food chain gone, most animals would die off very quickly. Within a week, the average global surface temperature would drop below zero. Well, that'd be a warm-up for some of us, right? But that's the average global temperature. Within a year, it had dipped to 100 degrees below zero, and the top layers of the oceans would freeze over. Eventually, our planet would reach a stable negative 400 degrees, when the heat radiating from the Earth's core would equal the heat radiated into space. Wow. Although some microorganisms might survive, he says, the majority of life would enjoy only a brief post-sun existence. Not long ago, some deep-sea communities of bacteria-like organisms called, and I don't know if I'll say this exactly right, but archaea, they were discovered in the deep sea, and they used chemical energy as a basis for nutrition. This means of converting hydrogen sulfide is a process called chemosynthesis, as opposed to photosynthesis. Still, it's debated, even among the evolutionists, as to whether those organisms would exist at all had it not been for a source of light for the conception of their ancestors. There are those, they would say Jesus isn't right, you know, by saying that you need light for life. Because, I mean, look at these organisms, these microbacterial organisms living at the very bottom of the sea. They don't need light. Well, again, that's debated. They might not be getting their light from the sun presently, but they seem to be getting a light source from the fissures in the sea, actually from the volcanic faults that are below. But even if that's not the case, I have a question for you. You think that's the kind of life Jesus is talking about? I mean, if you want to live as a bacteria at the bottom of the ocean, have at it, okay? No wonder, as I recall, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And there was. And then life was created. Without light, there's no life. Certainly no life that is truly life. For we're talking about light being more than mere existence. We're talking about light that is vibrant, vital, important, with purpose. Within Jesus' claim is also the premise that light illuminates. In the context, Jesus said he is the one who reveals his Father and enables us to be able to distinguish truth from lie. Read the whole chapter. Speaking of Jesus in John 1, beginning verse 9, we read this. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Once again, the true light coming into the world, giving revelation, revealing the true nature of God. Giving us a clear picture of the reality of God, revealing him to mankind clearly more than anything ever had done before, including all the words of the patriarchs and the prophets rolled up together. In the process of revealing God to man in a more complete and visible way, this light also exposed mankind's loss, enabling us to see areas we otherwise might have overlooked. Have you ever had to shed some light on something that you wanted to work on, that you wanted to repair, that you needed to restore? I had a splinter in my hand the other day, got from a basket, just moving a basket in my office, couldn't see it. Got out a magnifying glass, still couldn't see it. I got this magnifying glass so it has a light in it. I saw it. Light reveals, it illuminates, it makes things more clear. See, the light exposed our flaws, but the light didn't come to this world just to expose our flaws. Not just to highlight our sin, but the light came to the world to heal that sin. The light came to bring healing and wholeness. The Father calls us into the light. And it's there He reveals our brokenness, but also He repairs, He restores, He renews. He bathes us in the light of love and the radiance of His grace and forgiveness. That's the light that illuminates. Illuminates our sin, yes, but illuminates those sins to be taken away, to be removed, to be forgiven. In Jesus' statement is also the principle that light guides. He says that if we follow Him, we will no longer stumble around in the darkness. If we follow His teaching and His example, we're going to find a path clearly laid out that will enable us to maneuver through the darkest times in life. And eventually, that light will guide us, lead us to heaven sure. That's good news. I've long held dear the lyrics to a song that declares, I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shown a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Yet, if you haven't read it yet, you'll find in my bulletin article that I give another insight. I don't believe that Jesus is the lighthouse. He's the light that shines forth from the lighthouse. That we are to be the lighthouse. We are to be the ones who provide that vessel, that tabernacle for the light to shine from. He's the light that the church is to project into the world. He's the light that's to be projected not just from our building, not through our windows, but from our lives. Certainly, we do that when we lift up Jesus and we teach His word and we live according to that word, that we shine, that we project the light that guides. We reflect it. We radiate it. But He is the source. He is the source of the guiding light. Psalm 119:105 says that God's word is a light to the path of all who will hold it high. Yet I know of people who would say, yes, God's word, Jesus' teaching, that they're a good guideline. They have some good advice, some good counsel for you to live a good life, but they would dismiss the teaching from the Christ. And they would say, yes, you know, there's light there perhaps in the teaching, but they would not admit that Jesus is the source of the light, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus is the only light that will show us the way to eternal life and bliss. You wonder, how can it be? How can anyone truly look to Jesus, look at Jesus, read about Jesus, hear about Jesus, hear about His teachings, and come to some other conclusion than He is the light of the world, that He is God in the flesh, that He is the revelation, the illumination that the world needs so desperately? How can they miss that? Perhaps Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4 might help. It's there he writes this, beginning in verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In verse 5, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." And then in verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." How can anyone miss who Jesus is? How can anyone miss God in all this? The Pharisees did. They missed it. There was Jesus standing right in front of them. And they didn't know who he was. They didn't know him or the Father. That's what he said. So why are we so surprised sometimes when people can't see him today? What was their problem? Well, it's the same problem that exists today. Is the God of this age, the devil, Satan himself, fills their hearts and their minds with lies and deceit, clouds their vision, and they can't see. And they can't see. Reality is that none of us would be able to see. None of us would be able to see if not for the light that God sent to the world. None of us would be able to understand and comprehend and know God as we do today without Jesus Christ. None of us would. It's not that we're smarter than anybody else. It's not that we have better vision than somebody else. It's not that we're more gifted than somebody else in the natural realm. No. It's because we have been blessed by grace through the Spirit to have the veil removed to be able to see Jesus for who he is. As the light of the world. Don't let Satan hide that truth from you. He'll try to cover your eyes. He'll try to darken your heart. He wants to keep the world in the dark. And ultimately, his goal is to drag everyone he can with him into the blackest pit that Jesus himself describes as the outer darkness. Why so dark? Because God isn't there. Jesus isn't there. God's Word isn't there. And it's dark. The dark place. And our world, without God, and without Jesus, would be as dark. Just as dark. Jesus is the light of life. He's the clear revelation of God. He illuminates God's love for the worst of sinners. Jesus is the one and only guide. He's the only one who can and will lead us home if we'll follow him. He'll lead us out of the darkness into a kingdom of light if we'll follow him. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of life. Jesus, the light that illuminates and reveals God and truth. Jesus, the light who guides. Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for his willingness to come into this world. Into darkness, into a world that, Father, so desperately needed light, but was so resistant to it. I want to thank you for Jesus who persistently, consistently held up the light of your love, of your grace and your mercy. I want to thank you, God, for his willingness to be hung on a cross. And though at that time when he died, darkness covered the earth, God, I'm so thankful the resurrection light burst forth again. I'm so thankful, God, that we can have light in our life now. We can have life that's eternal because of him. I thank you, God, for forgiving us, for your mercy, for your grace, for your goodness. And God, right now, I pray for those in our community, in our world, maybe even in our midst this morning, who haven't seen the light, who haven't had their eyes and their hearts open to that light. And God, I pray that through Jesus, through your Spirit, that you might peel back that layer so that they might see. That they might see the goodness and the glory and the hope that is in him. Thank you, God. We look forward to being in eternal light in heaven with you. We know that's possible only because light first came here. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you.